airchecks.com.
We're back on The Rock with the Howard Lunch Show. The celebration of WBCN's 40 years as The Rock of Boston started on the Ides of March of this year, then continued last month with legendary morning man Charles Lacordaire live on WBCN. And now we have Howard Stern back on WBCN. We've been going back to some of the great live performances that took place on BCN, on the Stern Show, talking about your time at Boston University.
Well, at BU, again, I have to mention this, that I had no money, so I didn't hang out. I'm also not the most adventurous person in the world, so the only restaurants I ever visited, and my parents were shocked by this. They came up to visit and said, you can go anywhere you want in Boston to a restaurant, and I would take them to Aegean Fair, which was like a Greek restaurant chain, and my parents would be like, do you know any other restaurants? And the only other restaurant I knew when I first met my ex-wife, we used to go to Pewter Pot, which was like the women would dress up in these little New England kind of, they look like the cover of a syrup bottle, you know? So I only knew two or three restaurants. I remember there was a movie theater that showed the same movie for like my entire college. Every day it was the same movie. It was that movie with, it was Harold and Maude. They showed it every day. And that was the extent of my entertainment. I mean, there were kids who had money, and they would go out to concerts, and they would go to parties, and they would go to clubs. I once decided I wanted to be popular. I was like a hippie. I had real long hair. I cut my hair, and I put on this huckapoo shirt at the time, which was what a lot of the beautiful people at BU wore. And I cut off my hair, and I got a tan, and I went to Zelda's, which was a big dance club at the time. I don't even know if it's around, but I went there, and I stood in a corner, and no girls talked to me. Went with my friends, and I couldn't hook up. So, you know, it's Aegean Fair, Pewter Pot, and that's it, you know, and Harold and Maude. I never saw. Oh, I know what. At BU, I think I did see The Godfather. I went to a movie theater there. It was very limited what I got to do. And I think I saw The Exorcist there, and I was real scared. Oh, I saw Jaws, because I went down to Walden Pond after I saw Jaws, and I was afraid to go in the water, in a pond. I thought there were sharks in the pond. And I knew it was a pond. I knew sharks didn't live in a pond, but I couldn't go in the water after that. I saw Jaws, yeah. So, I mean, listen, I had a lot of good times at BU, but for the most part, I was pretty sheltered. I think it was an economic thing more than anything else.
Well, let's listen to another performance from BCN Past, the Howard Stern Show, at the beginning of the Howard Lunch, talking about Gavin Rossdale, one of your favorite guests have live in studio. So Bush, live and acoustic, Come Down on WBCN's Howard Lunch.
Love and hate.
Bush, Come Down live, WBCN, the Howard Lunch. Howard Stern talking at the beginning about Gavin Rossdale being one of the favorites who came through the studio and performed live. Some of the others?
Jeez, I mean, you know, AC/DC would stop by. Oh, man. I just think every great band would come through and do these live acoustic sets for us, you know. And I remember, maybe this is one stellar moment that happened while I was on BCN. Stevie Wonder came in, and he just played a bunch of different things and gave a really good interview and really talked openly about his life, and he was amazing. So there's a lot of good musical moments from our show that happened to BCN. You know, I was saying Stevie Wonder was such a great guest, but isn't it ironic? I would suppose that when I was a college student, I used to hear Stevie Wonder on WBCN, and how ironic it is that now you would probably never hear Stevie Wonder on WBCN, or a guy, if Stevie Wonder was starting out, I don't think you'd hear him on WBCN, that because of the way ratings go and the way music has to be programmed, there's very little room for a Stevie Wonder sound on WBCN. Which I guess is kind of unfortunate, because one of the cool things about BCN was that it was so remarkable and diverse. And unfortunately, the marketplace has kind of eliminated radio stations like that. I don't think we'd ever see another WBCN the way it was. So I don't know if that's profound or not.
There's profundity there. And it's as you mentioned, it's sad to see those days go. It's sad to see a lot of stations like that go. But it's on the flip side of that. Here we are, BCN 40 years, still alive and kicking with Howard Stern back on the radio. And we've been it's been a great lunch, and we've had all these great live performances peppered in. It's got to make you feel proud.
I'm quite proud of all of them. I've always patted myself on the back for, especially in the early years, getting bands to come in and play acoustically. I don't think it was really done. I don't think it occurred to anyone to say, hey, why don't you bring a, you know, just an acoustic guitar and strum along and play something for us and talk about the genesis of a song. And I think that we had a lot to do with this explosion of music, like MTV started doing Unplugged, and just wasn't really done on the radio all that much. So, you know, this is, you know, musically we have a rich history on the Howard Stern Show, and we've had a lot of great bands come in. So, happy birthday, man. That's quite remarkable, and what a great signal. Crystal clear, and what a legendary radio station. And happy birthday.
Celebrating 41 years and saying goodbye to WBCN, the Rock of Boston. Looking back at 41 years of WBCN, the Rock of Boston.
White Hill presents Popeye Meets the Beach Boys.
Well, it's been building up inside of me for, oh, I don't know how.
We're saying goodbye to a legend. The Rock of Boston, WBCN. 41 years.
This is March 15th, 1960.
How do you say goodbye to an old friend after 41 years? With some old friends. Oedipus, Charles Lacquadera, Howard Stern, Billy West, Tammy Heide, Ken Shelton, Tom Sandman, Nick Carter, Bill Abbott, Carter Allen, Don Law, Greg Hawks from The Car, Shred, Jerry Goodwin, Dickie Barrett, and more. Now, through Tuesday at midnight, we look back at 41 years of the station that was
the real WBCN. Boston.
It's WBCN's Last Blast this Wednesday, August 12th from 5 to 9 p.m. The rooftop pool at the Colonnade Hotel in Boston. Join Toucher and Rich for the Landshark Lager Pool Party. This invite-only party features live steel pan music performed by Island Breeze. Enjoy a nice cold Landshark Lager and don't miss your chance to hang out with Toucher and Rich. Get your invite at WBCN.com and use your BCN box. Or hit the events page at WBCN.com and find Landshark Lager and the BCN Street Team giving away tickets at area bars all weekend. The Landshark Lager Pool Party with Toucher and Rich. Wednesday from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Colonnade Hotel rooftop pool. No purchase necessary. Winners must be 21 or older to attend.
This is Josh Summer. You're listening to WBCN Boston.
They say the only band that ever mattered. At least some of us say that. You're listening to the four-day farewell here at 104.1 WBCN. We are retrospecting for the final 4 days of the Rock of Boston. 41 years behind us, and the unknown. That's all that sits in front of us. But WBCN, by the way, Mark Hamilton with you until 8 o'clock. And Ken Shelton, the mighty Ken Shelton, Captain Ken, will be joining us live in the studio in the very near future. So if you're missing those sweet, sweet, dulcet tones of Captain Ken, he will once again rock your late lunch today on the radio. But WBCN, despite popular belief, is not going away. It's moving. The Rock of Boston will be found at 98.5 HD2. The music, my friends, will live on. And Freeform WBCN is at 100.7 HD3. And that's up and running right now. Of course, you need to have an HD radio to tune this in. So what we'd like to do is set you up with one right now. Call number 14 at the WBCN contest line, 617-931-1041. You're going to win an HD radio. My friends, it's time to upgrade. So if you don't have one, this would be the moment for you. An HD radio, courtesy of your friends here at the Rock of Boston, WBCN.
WBCN, WBCN HD1 Boston.
Ah, 104.1 WBCN, the Rock of Boston. Boston. Look at this. Look at this. There we go. Ken Shelton joining us in the studio here at BCN. Ken, are you there?
Good lunchtime, everybody. Late one.
Oh, it's nice to hear your voice.
You know, I did many things over my 13 years on BCN, but you've already surpassed me with what you're doing right now. Holding up the entire board with one hand. Now, this is a DJ. This is a pro, a man able to work under almost impossible circumstances. How the what are they, disassembling the place before the end? I thought we got 4 days here to play fun things, and they're just taking it apart.
They might have to do it without a main microphone for the next 3 days. Oh. Either that or Chachi's going to stand here for 72 hours.
For the listeners, the entire mic stand just snapped, right?
Well, who needs microphones? You can just play music. That's what we did during the blizzard back in the 70s. We plugged in cassettes and stuff and just played. If anybody remembers cassettes.
They were very, very small versions of the reel-to-reel.
They were small versions of 8-tracks, which, talking about prehistoric, but hopefully with the good publicity that's been coming along about this farewell, that there are a lot of old BCN fans listening, tuning in to hear some of their favorite DJs and favorite tunes, and hopefully all the listeners that have come to BCN over the past few years as a new station and really aren't haven't delved into the history of it all will get to hear some stuff and get to understand why people are so excited, why their parents or even grandparents are shedding a tear for the fact that BCN is going to be moving over to a new technology, and well, you'll have to get a special radio to hear it. And
we're going to give those away throughout the day.
Well, give me one because I don't have one.
Chachi, can we do that? Can you set a brother up? Ken, for those that don't know, what years were you here? You were the mighty Captain Ken Shelton.
I came here in 1980. The station had gotten new owners a couple of years, a year before I got here. And I was working at another station, and the new owners of BCN came over to that other station. They were friends with the people who ran that station. And there was a strike going on at BCN at the time, and caused by these two new owners who kind of didn't get the picture. They thought, okay, we bought BCN, we own it, we do what we want, fire those people, fire those people. And the whole city went on strike. I mean, concerts were closed down, listeners were harassing the DJs that were filling in on the air. And these new owners came over to this other station I was at, and my boss at the other station said, Ken, come here. I want you to meet the new owners over at BCN. This is one is named Jerry Karras, and the other one's name is Michael Wiener. And they both stood up and went to shake my hand. And I just looked at them, and I was, even though I was at this other station, I had been a BCN fan since the moment I came to Boston in 1969 as a student. And I just looked at these guys, and I'm generally a pretty kind and casually comfortable person to be around, but I looked at these guys with a sneer, and I looked at their outstretched hands, and I said, no thanks. And they both turned white. Of course, today they are both very white. Jerry Karras passed away a few years ago, and sadly, Michael Wiener, the other owner at the time, just passed away this past week. A year later, things had changed, and I was at another station that was beating BCN and its competitors in the demographic, and they decided if we're going to beat Shelton and that other station, we should get Shelton over here. And they made me an offer I couldn't refuse. And they invited me over to dinner at the Colonnade restaurant. Fancy schmancy place.
They didn't take you to lunch?
Oh, no. This was dinner. This was a biggie. They were bringing me over. Am I allowed to say Matt Siegel's name?
Yes.
Consider it done.
Matt Siegel. Matty had been the midday announcer at BCN, but he actually didn't leave BCN to go to another radio station. He fancied himself a TV star, and he got a program on Channel 5, a late-night TV program. And I believe the end of his TV career was built around one of the great local Boston bands of the time, and probably of all time. They were called Human Sexual Response.
I love that band.
And even though they knew they were on TV and there was no delay, they sang out all the real lyrics to all their songs. And the folks over at Channel 5 said, I don't think this is going to work. So Matt really became the object of the hate of his old fans in BCN. He went to a disco station. And I was offered the job to take over for him. And I walk into this room and I go, oh, my God, I'm going to have to face Karis and Wiener, these two guys that I snubbed, that I practically spit in their hands. And I walk in, and there's those two gentlemen, a fellow named Dave Bieber, who was the creative services director, who actually was the playmaker that put it together with them and with me, and Tony Berardini, who was the program director at the time at BCN. And they're all standing there, and I've never seen a bunch of grimmer faces sitting at a table, and I'm going, oh, this is not going to work. They're going to offer me minimum wage and overnights. And instead, Mike Wiener and Jerry Karis stand up, and their hands are wrapped in their dinner napkins. And they walk towards me, and I go, do they have guns? Do these guys have guns? Wait a minute. These are not mafia guys. They're Jewish guys. They must be Jewish mafia. They're going to kill me right here at the Colonnade. They're going to shoot me down in cold blood. Instead, they take off the dinner napkins from their hands and extend them, and they say, Ken, we've been keeping these hands warm for about a year and a half now, waiting to offer them again to you. And this time I gladly took them. And we sat down, had a great dinner. They made me an offer I couldn't refuse, and was announced as the new midday announcer at WBCN. And I have to say, that was March of 1980. I came on the air here. And was here until 1993, when the corporation that owned BCN, which was Infinity at the time, which is now CBS, had bought another station in town, your sister station. Are they broadcast from here in the building?
Yep,
the Z. They, after 13 years, they said that they finally bought the competition. And they said, Ken, you have been an integral part of making BCN the most well-known and beloved station, not only in Boston, but around the country. And your time has come. You can stay here for the rest of your contract. But the big honcho owner of the whole deal says it's time that Ken Shelton became a morning guy. So they made me the morning guy at ZLX. And I was there for a couple of years, and I moved on a couple of years after that to another station. So it was from 1980 to 93 that I had the most fun, the most excitement, the most creative years, and all that. Not just from myself, but from the people, the staff, the creative process around this place is hard to describe these days to anybody. It's hard for someone who hadn't followed BCN all these years to understand that enlightened leadership, advertisers that loved the stations themselves. They weren't buying out of distant cities through advertising agencies. They lived here. They owned their stores and businesses here. They loved the station, and they supported it with their pocketbooks. And it all made for very exciting times. Now, I don't know if it's happening now or soon, but my great ratings and my following all would not have happened if it wasn't for the support forces that were here at BCN, both enlightened management, people like Oedipus, the program director, whose attitude was get the best people and let them do what they do best. And that worked.
And some of them will join us later on. Tom Sandman and Billy West will be calling
That's
in.
That's what I was hoping. Those two made the midday. They made some nutty stuff. They made some brilliant stuff. Billy West, who's out in Hollywood doing voice work and other things, is, in my many years of radio, Billy West was the most creative person I ever heard on radio anywhere, anytime, any era. Tom Sandman was the production manager of WBCN. He preceded John Reilly, who's another brilliant production director. And Tom's thoughts and friendship and creative process helped make the lunch songs and the whole lunch hour and the whole midday of BCN just rock on a new level that other stations couldn't compete with.
We brought some music. You want to play some soon?
Well, I heard it's been played already today, but I thought it would be appropriate to start off the music. And I'm not just going to gab away, folks. I hope I haven't turned off a lot of people here with my
do whatever you wish.
But
you're the captain of this ship.
You know, I hadn't called myself that. I hadn't used Captain Ken since 1975 at many stations before BCN.
Was that at the Kick-Ass Rock and Roll station?
Yeah. All right. That's what they told me to stop using it. The first station I was on, which interestingly enough was called WBZ-FM, which is going to be the new sports talk station, which will take over Boston's sports listeners. Back then it was an automated little top 40 teenage jukebox, and I got my first start there. And they told us they didn't want the DJs to get famous, and they wanted it just to be a station with just some voices coming in briefly. So they said, don't use your libs, myself and this other guy named Clark Smith. And they said, you guys, you're the voices. You'll alternate on tape every 4 hours, round the clock. But we don't want you to use your last name. So we're not looking for personality radio. Just don't you're Ken, you're Clark. And as a few weeks went by, Clark and I shared an office, and Clark had the big desk. He was the top honcho, and I had a little place in the corner facing the wall. And whenever he was out to lunch or to business meeting or meeting with the honchos, I would move all my stuff over to his desk and easier to do work there. And he'd come back in and go, yo, General, get out of my desk. Hey, Admiral, hey, Captain, Viceroy, King, Captain, Captain. And pretty soon it came Captain, Captain, Captain. And I said, you know, Captain Ken, you know, we're talking to teenagers. This was 1973, so those teenagers are now parents and grandparents of teenagers that listen to BCN now. And I said, they said we couldn't use our last name. Did they say we couldn't use nicknames? And he said, no. Thus was born Captain Ken.
Nice.
So from 1973 to 1975, I called myself Captain Ken. And then I changed stations to the Kick-Ass station, which has gone the way of other competitors of BCN that tried to topple the best and made their little headway, but then disappeared along with the others. And they said, you know, Captain Ken kind of sounds like kiddie stuff. You know, you're Ken Shelton. Be Ken Shelton. So I said, great. I got no problem with that. I just wasn't allowed to use my own name back at the other stations. So I started using my full name, Ken Shelton. But it seems like whenever I took a phone call or when I did crossovers with the other DJs, they would go, hey, Captain Ken, how are you? And I couldn't make it go away. And so I never uttered the term Captain Ken till just now. From 1975 right through the rest of my radio career, all through BCN, I never did, but Charles Laquadera called me Captain Ken, and all the other DJs did as well, and that just kind of stuck. It was a mistake that a mistake that became a legend.
A happy mistake.
It was a happy mistake.
All right, what'd you bring into play?
Well, I even though I heard it was already played today, I thought the best way to start off the music for my little stint here would be the very first song that was played when BCN was a classical jukebox station, the Boston Concert Network. You're listening to 104.1, the Boston Concert Network. And one night at midnight, in a little tiny studio, about as big as the men's room here, the upstairs corner of the old Boston Tea Party was allowed to turn into an alternative rock station. And the first song that was played by this band, which I was looking through some records, and on the record it was called The Cream. But I think we all know them better as Cream, and I believe you have queued up the very first song ever played on WBCN Boston.
Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. I feel free. Bum, 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 bum. I feel free. Bum, 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 bum. I feel free. Bum, 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 bum. I feel free. Bum, 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 bum. I feel free. Bum, 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 bum. I feel free. Bum, 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 bum. I feel free. Bum, 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 bum. I feel free. See you.
street there's no one there, though the pavement's a one huge crowd. I can drive down the road, my eyes don't see, but my mind wants to cry out loud.
Sports radio station is being built, the first Boston FM sports station. It'll be the new home of the Patriots, Bruins, Dutcher and Rich. Thursday, it's the debut of 98.5 The Sports Hub, Boston's new home for sports.
We're at forumrsvp.com today.
It's 104.1 WBCN, the Rock of Boston. A four-day farewell to 104.1, and in the studio with me, Ken Shelton.
Hello, everybody. Hello. Good to be back.
Ken, I see you're wearing your 12th annual WBCN Rock and Roll Rumble t-shirt.
I'm one of those, well, many people at BCN were collectors and savers, or hunters and collectors, as the case might be. And I still do have many of the old Rumble t-shirts, and for Christmas every year, I would hand out to the people who had been working the listen line for me and my producers. I would have made up special sweatshirts or jackets or things, just saying I'm on the Ken Shelton team, and would hand those out. I have a lot of those myself, and people look at me weird if I'm in the supermarket walking around with a sweatshirt that dates back to 1991, and they go, "My God, hon. Don't you have any new clothes, young man?"
How many times has that been washed?
Many.
How many? Many. Do you remember who won that year?
Oh, 91.
Was that 90 or 91? I think it's 90.
I guess I have to look at the shirt I'm wearing, 1990. I can turn my back and you can read the groups. And I don't recall who won that year. Was that Down Avenue?
No, Down Avenue was in the early 80s, 84, 85, somewhere around then.
Okay.
I'm thinking Slaughter Shack, maybe, or Big Catholic Guilt.
Where are they
that
now?
Might have been 91. Where are they now?
Yeah.
Where are they all now?
I don't know. It's some went on to fame and fortune. Some took side trips. I remember a very fine artist named Robert Ellis Oral, who was in the One Rumble, and he didn't quite cut it as a rock star, so he moved to Nashville and has, I believe, he's won Grammys as a writer of country songs for other people.
Many have.
So many, many people have gone on to fame and fortune, although not in the original direction, which we thought they were going to take from the songs they played in the Rumble. But the Rumble was certainly one of the signature great things that WBCN brought to Boston. There were similar activities around the country. I would imagine that BCN was the station that originally did something like that, and other stations going, you know, this is a station in Boston. They let local kids with guitars play all together and compete. And they give them prizes and recording time, and some get hooked up with contracts. And could we try that?
Could you imagine?
Well, how much do the bands play to enter? How much do they pay to enter? And no, that wasn't the idea. The idea was to in a town that was just exploding with great local music from local kids and kids from the suburbs who would hear BCN and hear the new sounds that were coming out from all over the world, to the fact that Berklee College here in town attracted musicians from all over the country who became part of the whole scene, people like Amy Mann and so many zillions of others, many of whom have moved on and left Boston. Some are still around here. Some are on the staff at Berklee now.
Slaughter Shack, by the way.
I don't remember that. It might have been during Rumble Week was kind of a little rough on the DJs.
It would get fuzzy, wouldn't it?
It would get fuzzy.
Six nights in 1 week.
Yeah, I even remember one of the rare times I ever barfed in public.
Oh, you are going to tell that story.
It was at a Rumble, and I was trying, and I always tried my best to pay attention to every note, to watch what the bass player was doing, to see if the keyboard player knew more than three chords, to see if the lead vocalist had real pipes or whether it was just, you know, singing through a synthesizer or whatever. I try to really dissect how good these bands were, and I was pretty good. And then we'd meet afterwards and vote and discuss the bands. But one night, I don't know, maybe it had been the fact that I had been judging two or three nights during that Rumble, and it just kind of caught up with me, and I was watching and drinking, and one band would blend into another, and I was forgetting who I was watching, and give me another drink. And so one of my rare failings as a true observant judge of the Rumble, most of the time the BCN jocks and the local newspaper writers and other media people that took part as judges were very serious about this.
So that was the first night that you and I ever met.
At Slaughter Shack?
The night that you got sick.
You were there?
I was there.
I found the big barrel and filled it?
Yes. I wasn't going to bring it up, but you did. So
well,
I
we're
had
just
to go
letting out a few little secrets here, you know. Maybe if we get around to it, I'll tell about the night that Bob Seger and I smoked a joint in the shower at the Boston Gold. Boston
Unbelievable. Garden. That didn't happen.
It happened.
No.
It happened. Honest to God.
Rock and roll and marijuana?
I know it's hard to believe these days, but yeah, things like that happen. I mean, I had so many incredible experiences. I once had dinner alone in a suite at one of the fancy downtown hotels with Ricky Lee Jones, interrupted only by the waiter coming in to refill our glasses. And it was strictly business, and she was absolutely delightful and lovely, and I wished it was more than...
Your cell phone's
local,
blowing up.
Local, somebody from Slaughter Shack is
play our record,
texting me. Find our tape. But there are just so many individual great moments. We've got one. I think you're trying to get that loaded onto a cartridge now. The fact that I did the first interview ever with a band that. Well, I said, well, geez, these guys got these three notes down, and they're really refreshing and nice, sweet, unassuming guys. But will they? Will they last? I mean, they just look like they'll be slaughtered by the music business, and they will have to learn at least another two chords. And they were 20, 21, 22 years old, and we're going to have that in a little while. Is that being?
I have it ready here. We can play a little bit of it.
Do that. Why don't we play this? I was lucky enough, thanks to Carter Allen, who actually gave me the honor of having this young band. They were just fresh off the, I would say, boat, but actually fresh off the jet from Dublin, Ireland. And nobody in America, not even the other so-called progressive stations around the country, wanted to touch this band. They just were too out there. And BCN immediately saw the future with this band. And we gave them lots of airplay, lots of time. And I was lucky enough to be the first DJ in America to do a live interview with a band that named themselves after an American spy plane, the U2.
Celebrating 41 years of WBCN, the Rock of Boston.
WBCN Boston, from their debut album, Boy, the band U2. And please join me in welcoming back to town three of the members of U2. We've got Bono in the middle there. Hello, Bono.
How you doing? Right.
We've got Edge.
Hello, hi.
Edge is the lead guitarist, Bono lead vocals, and on drums, the shy one in the background. That's Larry.
We're not speaking.
Hello, hi, that's Larry there.
Hello, you are a group of young gentlemen. What is the oldest age in the group? Is it 21? Is that correct?
At the moment, I'm taking charge of leadership, being 21. I was 21 last week.
Just 21.
The edge and Larry are 19. Isn't that right?
That's right. I don't know. I think after about 19, you start going senile on his way out.
It's downhill after a while. From puberty to a brief moment of excitement, and then it's all downhill after that.
It is. You're right.
Where
are you on this line, Ken? How far downhill or up
there? I am downhill. I'm past the big 3-0. I must admit it's...
And you don't look a day over
29.
Right.
You all come from Northern Ireland, is that correct?
Actually,
from the Republic of Ireland.
Dublin, in fact. The capital of the Republic, Dublin. That's where we come from. It's a great place.
Certainly, a little more peaceful than across the borderline.
A little more, yeah. It's a bit of trouble breaking out there at the moment, but I can't really remember what home looks like. I don't think we've been over here so long.
You have been touring almost constantly ever since the record hit these shores.
It's very important to us to tour because, you know, a lot of bands put out records and sort of sit back and wait for it to happen. And our attitude was to play to people face to face and let them make up their own minds, mm-hmm. as we're a live performance act. I think that's very important for us, especially for the first year.
And for those of you who haven't seen you two, they are playing tomorrow night
at the
Metro. I don't know. I think everybody has seen you. You already played the Paradise twice.
Yeah, that's right. We did two nights at the Paradise, or two shows at the Paradise.
Right, and now moving on to a bigger venue, the Metro, which holds about 1,200. Is that correct?
Yeah,
so that's more than double the capacity. But that's more than the two shows combined that you've seen.
Yeah.
And one thing I want to ask you. There are a number of excellent new bands coming from Ireland, but most of them are directly affected by what's going on there, the political situation in their homeland, the Stiff Little Fingers, Boomtown Rats, the Undertones. Your album is less political, non-political. You dealt with a topic. It is a theme album of sorts.
Of sorts. It's different. Like, whereas, say, Stiff Little Fingers have tried to speak about their experience straightforwardly in the music, the Undertones have done the opposite, and they've written songs about, you know, chocolate and girls. As a lyric writer, I'm more interested in people than politics, and more interested in why people should want to hit each other over the head with a broken bottle rather than where they do it being Northern Ireland, because everybody's violent, I feel.
Mm-hmm. The album deals more directly with an individual's passing from childhood through manhood.
Very loosely. It's not a concept album.
It just all falls into that place.
Yeah, it's sort of...
It doesn't seem like you started out saying, well, let's do a concept
album. No, it's not at all like that. You're right there. It's just the lyrics are, say, autobiographical. They're just writing about things that affected me, and I had quite a sort of violent adolescence and the things that affected me came out in that album.
Violence.
Lyrically. Violent mentally,
Isn't all, aren't all the younger teen years, all that passing for most people is violent, even if they live outwardly.
The age is a gentleman.
Seems very quiet. I like his top hat and black tie. I thought it was very adult.
Top of fashion today.
The band members, some of the band members of U2 are here today. Bono, lead singer, Edge, lead guitar, and Larry on quiet. Larry on drums. They don't give you. Does Larry get a microphone to sing during his performance? While he's drumming, or Larry, you just drum. Worry about.
I can hardly play the drums. Larry makes so much noise when he's hitting things that he just tends to be quiet when he isn't.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's hear some of the tunes that you've chosen. You've made a wonderful selection of tunes to start us off with today. Why don't we?
It's incredible that you call them tunes. Because I've never, nobody says that back in Ireland, but it's true. Like.
What do they say in Ireland? How do they?
I don't know.
Now let's play our next record.
Yes, something like that.
Mixed on vinyl. This electronic transcription is brought to you for the BBC.
First choice. Is this the first tune that made a mark on you?
Oh, this is the first rock and roll record, the first rock record ever.
WBCN, the band members of U2 are guests, and their first tune needs no introduction.
That was one of everybody's favorite first tunes, who loves rock and roll. And that, of course, an interview done by yours truly, Ken Shelton, here on WBCN back in 1981. U2, a bunch of young pups.
It's pretty amazing to hear Bono say how he wasn't very political.
Somewhere around the somewhere along the line that changed just a little bit.
Well, we never do know where the road takes us until we're there, and they certainly got there, and I'm very proud to have been able to do that first radio interview. And it wasn't long after that before every station in the country was begging for a moment, for a drop-in, for a station ID, for a visit, for copies of their records. And they were just a bunch of delightful, pleasant, polite young men. And I knew they would be big, but the extent that they eventually reached was beyond what I even imagined. They certainly are one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, and it's certainly a pleasure to see them still out there today and still being excellent and wonderful. I did bring in from my home collection a rarer track. I don't think this ever appeared on one of their albums. It's a cover version, and we'll see if you recognize it on this WBCN commemorative weekend.
This is Bono on a beach, the back of Dublin, carrying this handycam because I want to say happy birthday to BCN, because without BCN, we'd all be f***ed.
Brady takes the shotgun.
Tom Brady is
fires down the middle. Touchdown.
New sports radio station where you can hear every single play. Boston's new home for sports is 98.5 The Sports Hub. And it debuts on Thursday, the day Tom Brady makes his return to the Pats. Pre-game at 4.
This is Gil Santos. Join me and Gino Capoletti at 7:30 for the kickoff.
On the Safety Insurance 98.5 The Sports Hub Patriots Radio Network. New radio station. Same great cover. Gil Santos, Gino Capoletti, Gary Tang, Wandy, Gresham, Scott Zola. The new home of the Patriots is the new 98.5 The Sports Hub.
On Thursday, August 13th, it's the debut of 98.5 The Sports Hub, home of the Patriots and Bruins. The Sports Hub will be fueled by Dunkin' Donuts. Want to earn free coffee, save on gas, and a chance to score tons of sports prizes? Go to DunkinDonuts.com/score for full details. America runs on Dunkin'. No purchase necessary. Promotion ends 12/31/09.
Full terms.
It's WBCN's Last Blast. This Wednesday, August 12th from 5 to 9 p.m. The rooftop pool at the Colonnade Hotel in Boston. Join Toucher and Rich for the Landshark Lager Pool Party. This invite-only party features live steel pan music performed by Island Breeze. Enjoy an ice-cold Landshark Lager and don't miss your chance to hang out with Toucher and Rich. Get your invite at WBCN.com and use your BCN box. Or hit the events page at WBCN.com and find Landshark Lager and the BCN street team giving away tickets at area bars all weekend. The Landshark Lager Pool Party with Toucher and Rich. Wednesday from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Colonnade Hotel rooftop pool. No purchase necessary. Winners must be 21 or older to attend.
104.1 WBCN, Mark Hamilton, taking part in the four-day farewell that is the retrospective of 41 years of rock history here at the Rock of Boston. And it's my privilege to have in the studio with me today Ken Shelton, the mighty Midday King, and joining us also in the studio because he had to, is Chachi. Because he can't keep away.
Well, and Bradley's here, too.
And Bradley J is here.
I'm here,
well,
too, but I'm just in pretty much watching.
It's a testament to Ken Shelton, because
it really is.
It really is. He was an inspirational guy to me to want to work in radio. When I would listen to Charles and you know, Ken, for me, was in the mid-70s, early 70s. I used to work for Sage's Market. I grew up in Cambridge, and I'd always listen to Captain Ken on BZFM, and I always loved the guy, and then I got the chance to work with him. And when I first came here in 81, these guys were huge celebrities in Boston, and they were, it was unbelievable. I had to pinch myself the fact that I was working with these guys. So working with Ken and meeting him and being his friend was an honor. But one of the stories I always remember is, you know, back in the day, we had these crazy little typewriters, you know, and didn't have the computers like you did before. And we'd always type up the copy for the jocks to read.
Those confounded computer things.
Yeah, right.
And, a typewriter, by the way, you know, is like a computer keyboard that paper actually goes into.
Right. And make a mistake and you got to find the tape or whatever to fix it.
Start over.
Exactly. And so I had interns, and I had an intern type some copy. And I'm sure Ken does not remember this, and I hope you're not offended, because I love you. You know, but Ken was into being, you know.
There's a preface I'm afraid of.
Quality, top quality, because everything in his show was that way. And you can't have any mistakes. So my intern typed the copy, and back then we were your concert connection.
Yeah,
we were your number one concert connection. That was our slogan. So my intern typed some copy, bringing it to Ken. I didn't pre-read it, and Ken, I don't think he ever pre-read copy. He just did it live. Maybe I'm mistaken, but for this situation. You didn't pre-read.
I've got a feeling after what you're about to say, I started reading copy ahead of time.
So my intern, the last sentence, it always ended from your number one concert connection. So I sent him the copy. He's on the air, and it says, and he read it on the air, from your number two concert connection. He came out and went to Oedipus's office and demanded that the intern be fired. It's a conspiracy that she was planted here to do this and write your number two concert connection. I never forgot that situation, that story.
Well, Chachi, when you arrived at the station, you know, qualifications for being an intern on BCN was bra size. So, I mean, beyond that, you know, IQ, knowledge of music was not quite as important. So,
well, you know, back then, there was nothing on the building that said we were BCN because people would converge and hang.
Oh, that's right.
There was a 24-hour listener line, and there was a waiting list of so many people, a year-long waiting list to work on the listener line. And when I started here, that's what I did, and it was an honor to do that.
And there was one guy who did it 20 years. Andy was a listener line guy literally for 20 years.
20 years, that's true.
As a matter of fact, I heard he's buried under the old building back on Boylston Street. They couldn't get him out somehow.
And on the listener line, they had, you know, the ride book. If you needed a ride somewhere,
that's right.
With someone who was going to New York or wherever. And then the missing pets. You always tried to look for missing pets. So.
That actually predated my arrival at BCN because I think after some of those missing pets showed up at the local laboratories and somebody got raped on one of those rides, I think we said, I think we have to disassociate. I think times have changed. It ain't the golden love and roses 1960s anymore, and there's weirdos out there, and we had them all. We had, you know, I mean, we weren't perfect as people, and our listeners weren't either, but that's made for more interesting radio. And I remember one vivid picture that made the entire staff of the station go, oh no, because everywhere you went in Boston, every car that was obviously owned by a younger person, every souped-up wagon, and every hot sports car had BCN stickers all over them. Now, one day, the Globe has this picture of somebody who just drove off the road and into some apartment complex front door. And there on the back bumper was BCN, BCN,
and
BCN.
It was a drunk driver.
Yeah, and it was a driver.
There were a lot of pictures in the press of guys with that, you know, being pressed up against the hood of the car by a cop wearing WBCN t-shirts all the time. Yeah. Ken, let me ask you, you were on a long time and you were on a lot. You must have had a most embarrassing moment, something that just, oh my God, I can't believe I did this.
Well, my most embarrassing moment in radio actually was at the first station I was at, which was WBZ-FM, and that was the very first live guest that I ever had, because it was a pre-tape station, but I used to do live interviews, and I used to do a live telephone talk show for teenagers. My God, that was 1973, so that's 36 years ago. So those teenagers are now in their 50s. And,
that explains a lot.
And I had as a guest a duo that was very popular at the time in the early 70s. They had a couple of smash songs, big hit albums. They later kind of screwed up with their following by putting out an anti-abortion song as a hit, and that kind of put a damper on their career. They were Seals and Crofts.
Wow.
And, but I was so thrilled, I mean, just to meet them, and they were really nice guys.
Summer Breeze.
Summer Breeze, and...
which was covered by O Negative, Type O Negative, which was a big, right? A crushing, like, dark goth band.
Were they the anti O positive?
That's right.
Is that what it was?
Sort of. By the way, O positive had a reunion last night at the party.
I heard
we digress.
That, right? Okay.
Sorry.
So anyway, I'm
my fault.
All right, you're going to do this interview. We're putting you live. We're turning live microphones on this station, and it was Jimmy Seals and Dash Crofts were their names, and here's my big moment, my first live announcers, my first live stars on the air, and I go, okay, this is Captain Ken at the time, because I couldn't say my last name. And right now, I'm very proud to introduce the guys who have out that fabulous song, Summer Breeze, Jimmy Dash and Seals Crofts. So, that was my first embarrassing. On the air, I guess I made at BCN... a couple of slight boo-boos and mistakes.
Did you ever introduce the wrong band at a
club? I think we have a guest coming.
Well, I think I mentioned earlier with Mark what I was judging, of all things, judging one night, and I just, it was a rough week, and I rarely drink too much, but those were one of the few nights.
Yeah.
And
I think I remember that night.
And
Did you hurl?
I hurled a barrel full.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, it's one of the BCN legends.
Did we have photos, Judge?
Yes, we
do have a photo.
No, we don't have. But listen, I got to run out of the studio. But Ken Shelton, you meant a lot to me in my radio career, and I learned a lot from you, and it's such a pleasure to have you back.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Chachi. And you've been a great friend over the years, and such a vital part of what BCN was. And what a lot of people don't realize is that there are other... Your name became synonymous with BCN because it was, here comes Chachi with a bag of tickets, and here comes Chachi giving away HD radios, and here comes Chachi with the advanced tickets to the latest hot movie that's coming. So you certainly were one of the people, and there were many more people who did not gain their own fame like you did, who made this station work. The thousands and thousands of teenagers and college students and adults who volunteered thousands of hours of their own personal time to be there, to be part of BCN, to help people in need for different reasons, whether it was just getting a request to the DJ or directing them to the right suicide hotline, but all the listener line people over the years, and people involved in production as assistants, and people who worked for love, not for money, and who were certainly, if not as big as the Charles Lacordaeras and the other great DJs, were as almost as important in making BCN what it was. And I had to do a special thanks to Charles. Charles is, I'm hoping he's going to call in or something. But Charles Lacordaire was an inspiration to everybody, because Charles Lacordaire, before you heard me talking about that, Billy West, the most creative person I ever heard on the radio anywhere.
I have Billy West on the phone.
Would you put Billy West on the air here on WBCN, Bob?
Hello.
Billy. Billy, is
that Ken?
Is that you, Billy?
I'm here. I can sort of hear you from a million miles away.
Wait, if it really is you, let me hear the honeybee.
I can barely hear you, but I think you said the honeybee.
Yeah.
I can hear Billy. I can't hear Ken. Is that Ken?
Yep. Yeah, is that Tom?
Here's Tom.
Tommy.
Hey.
Tom Sandman.
I can hear Ken. Did you fire all the engineers, too? It's just like the old days on the big mattress. That's right. What year is this, 2009?
Yeah.
Can somebody let me hear the man of the hour?
Hello, Billy West.
I sort of hear him.
I was just talking about you and Tom. Now, are you both on the air? Can you hear me at all? We are having some technical difficulties. The board caved in right as I came in the room.
Oh, great!
But I think we're operational.
Can we hear you guys. Who can't hear Ken?
I can't hear Ken.
Billy can't hear Ken.
Billy.
I can barely hear Ken. Turn Ken up.
Turn me up,
please.
Okay. Is this any better? Are we any better now?
No. Who do I have to bribe? They'll just have to shout, Ken.
Hello, okay, I'll try.
There you go.
Testes 1, Testes 2, Testes 3.
Much better. There we go. Thank you. We're all happy
there
now.
You go.
We're all
say,
here.
Just
you're
say
you're
the
welcome.
Magic words. Before we had you on the air, you two here just now, I was saying that Billy West came to the station, and we used to have to take votes whether to keep Billy here, because Billy was the most creative person that anybody here at BCN had ever worked with or heard of. You played guitar like a master. Guys in groups used to come to the station to have you show them how to finger a chord. You did voices that... As a matter of fact, I'm going to ask you something, Billy, to do something that you never did for me that I always wanted to hear. I heard that you were the only person who could do an imitation of Ken Shelton. Did you hear me? Billy, are you there?
Billy, are you there?
Yeah, I got hung up on somehow.
Okay, well, you're back now here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you fine.
All right. I just, as a little personal favor here on this BCN commemorative week.
Yes.
I've been told by everybody that when I was not in the room, you could do Ken Shelton better than Ken Shelton.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Well, I'd like, you never would do it for me.
All right, wait a minute. All right, wait. Wait. WBCN, the Mighty Lunch Hour's here. Today, we're going to start off with the best of Steely Dan. I don't know. I'm dreaming.
Yeah, Ken, he did a whole week while you were on vacation once. He didn't do it.
No, I think I know what you were saying earlier when I could barely hear you, and then I got hung up on. Thank you so much for the compliments, but I know what you were saying. It's like that was the only job I think I ever had where I was allowed to work there, but I could never come in the station any other time except when I was working there. I was banned.
Well, you were. I think they based the original Jekyll and Hyde on you, Billy. You know, back then and now, I know you're living a healthy lifestyle, and I've heard that you look terrific and are terrific. But back then, you were going through some crises. And,
yes.
Everybody, it was like, you know, your idea of a good time, you know, Billy, you're what, about 5'6"?
Yep.
And your idea of a good time on a Friday night was to go down to Kenmore Square to the Rat, get stinking drunk, and then look for the biggest gorilla you could find in any club or walking down the street on Commonwealth Avenue and start a fight with him.
Oh, my God. And, well, you can't keep a good man down, you know?
Well, they put you down at least temporarily a number of times, but yes. You did always get back up sometimes with a wired jaw.
That's right. I had a broken jaw once.
That's right. But I'm glad for your sake and for all the people that love you that you did snap out of that phase, and now it's been pure creation.
It was really, really bad. I'm glad I did a few good things, mostly under the auspices of Tom Sandman. he keep warning me, like, you're not going to go out there like that, are you? I said, I don't know. What should I do, hide in the closet, you know?
Actually, it was an honor to work with Billy. We did stuff in the 8 years I was there that people would pay to be able to do for a radio station. You know, as production director, we had to do all of the commercials for the local accounts. So that was a job in itself. But then to have the radio station also encourage us to be creative and do, you know, all those lunch songs we did for you, Ken, and we had big Fool's Parade, and we had the, we just had a blast on the Big Mattress, and we got to do basically carte blanche on any promo that we wanted to do, and, you know, to have that kind of a thumbs up on creativity from Tony Berardini and Oedipus and,
yep,
and Chachi. Chachi just let us do anything we wanted on his promos, and it was just, it was a real joy and a treat, so.
People obviously identified me as the guy in the midday on BCN, as the lunch guy, but I think anyone in radio and everyone here at BCN knew that whatever fame and fortune and high ratings were gained in the midday hours would have been just a shell of what they were if it was not for Tom Sandman and Billy West working together with ideas and music and coming up with things that just put me over the top. I was a guy with a good voice and a good taste in music, but
you sure did.
Yeah, but when I first heard you, I think you were on WBZ. This was before. I think I was still playing in bands then, and you were Captain Ken Shelton.
Well, I was just Captain Ken back then. They wouldn't let me use my last name, so I became Captain.
What was that, in case you decided to move to another station, couldn't take your fans with you or something?
Sort of like that. They kind of wanted to downplay any personality on the station and just sell the music as pure music.
No, I used to tune in just to hear you on that station, and many a Friday night, it kind of pacified me until it was time to go out and go berserker, you know, but... yeah, I always wanted you to know that that was my introduction to you, and I was always just always loved the way you presented things and the shows that you ran, and they were very creative. Oh, and we also had an open playlist for sort of.
That's
like
right.
That. Yeah.
First time I heard Ken on the air, I think he played Elvis and The Clash in the same set, and I thought, you know, this guy's good. This is great.
Yeah.
Well, when I first came to BCN, and I was used to places where they gave you a list and maybe there'd be two or three holes per hour where you could stick in something, but it was a something that was also in the library and not too far off from the regular razzmatazz that they were playing, you know, maybe a deeper Bob Seger cut or, you know, a deeper cut by the Beatles. It was... But I came to BCN, and I remember at the time Tony Berardini, who hired me, was the program director, and he took me into my first tour of the studio, and he was showing me, you know, the Hoovertorium in the back, and where all the how the records was set up by a very strange alphabetical way of doing things that was set up by previous.
That's right. People. I still try to describe to other people who are in radio today how big the record library was at BCN. It was unbelievable. It would be like, and over here, we have that.
Charles had a gym in the record stacks, didn't he? Didn't he have a pull-up bar?
Yeah, I heard a rumor there was a special fun room back there somewhere. But
yes, there was.
I just don't know.
Yeah, that pull-up bar that Charles had, I believe, was made out of straws. So
seven around two wrapped by one.
And you know, and Charles was the glue. All those years, Charles was the glue because Charles was one of the worst disc jockeys I'd ever heard in my life. Charles was such a flubbadub, made so many mistakes, didn't know music, fancied himself a hit picker, and you remember some of the great stars that he picked out of obscurity, like Fiona.
Yeah.
You know, and he just would take a new artist, and send them right back to obscurity.
Like Kate Bush.
But the beauty of Charles, and what Charles made Charles the cement that held the whole station together, was that everybody out there, from Charles's own hometown of Milford to people from Medford and Northborough and Southborough and Framingham and Worcester and Taunton and you name it, every town, everybody loved rock and roll.
Yeah.
But it was Charles that made everybody go, yeah, yeah, I could be a DJ. That guy, Chuck.
That's how I got here.
But again, you know.
That guy could be on the radio, so can I. So Charles gave hope.
He encouraged creativity. If you had an idea for a show, he would accept it, no holds barred. And I don't know many morning men who would do that, you know?
No, Charles trusted the people who gave him the people in the studio to make his show something spectacular.
You know, one thing about Charles that was amazing is I grew up in Concord, Mass, and we had a high school radio station there. We did a blood drive 1 year, 10-watt radio station. And we're like, we got to get somebody famous. Who can we get? So one of the kids said, oh, let's get Charles Lockwood Air. And everybody said, no way will it ever happen. And I called him up one morning on the big mattress, and it wasn't on the air, but I called up and I got him on the phone and I said, hey, you know, we're doing a blood drive this weekend. Would you come out and be on our 10-watt radio station? And he said, what day, what time? And,
wow.
he came down and he did 4 hours of radio with these high school kids on a tiny station that nobody could hear. It was pretty amazing.
And what would it be to eat?
Yeah, right.
Will there be food?
Is there anybody here I can get house building material from?
No, shockingly, he asked for nothing in return. It was
wow,
but not surprised. I mean, it was fantastic, and for a kid, you know, that was we had a rock star. You know, we had a bona fide rock star in the trailer.
And Charles helped give the reputation of being the ultra liberal right cause station, because if there was a cause out there and it was a good one and it was for good people and good ideas and good thoughts, Charles would stand up and fight for it and put his what little brain he had and all his body behind it, and he would fight with management to get station support for many causes. he knew how to fight the good fight. And
you know, remember the Shell boycott? That was very effective.
That's right.
The tide
lost the station
against apartheid, and we had a whole anti-apartheid weekend on the radio station where little Stephen came in, and it was the whole Sun City thing. That was Charles. He got into Time Magazine on the boycott Shell, and I think they had over 1,000 credit cards cut in half thanks to his efforts.
Right, and he lost the station tens of thousands of dollars in
advertising.
That's
true. He's not the only one. Should I talk about that? One time I did a bit about a local record company and the big shot that ran it and sort of, you know, sort of alluded to different kind of things that weren't so cool. And it never dawned on me that they had like $90,000 worth of advertising running that week. And I came out and Bieber got a phone call from the person in question. You know, it's like, my enemies I can control. My friends? You know, and he, who was the little, you know, Jagov that did that? Tony came in and just bit my head off. You know what it was like being yelled at by Tony? Was like the Maxell ad. You know, I'd be sitting in the chair, and it was all of a sudden,
you know, I had one of those moments too. We did a bit. It was an anti Boston Globe bit because I thought that they were being really critical of the Red Sox during that 1986 season where they eventually went to the World Series.
And so we
just did a negative commentary, and it was tough, you know. So I learned my lesson that there are limits and there are boundaries, but you know, just to be able to work for BCN and those guys, and even the sales department was cooperative, you know, and was gracious, even though I screwed up. It was just a great time, and the talent inside that building, you know, I can remember we would do lunch songs. And we would pull in, Katie Abel would sing, Laurie Nason had
Laurie
a great
Nason.
Voice, and Lisa Traxler. I mean,
oh, yeah.
We had
Larry
so many
McCrack.
Talented people in that building. It was unbelievable.
Even Chachi.
That's right, even Chachi.
Chachi was Ringo.
Doing
that's
a
right.
horrible version of Yellow Submarine.
Yeah, but isn't that the beauty of it?
That was the beauty of it, that everybody had a shot. I think BCN gave hope to its listeners because they figure if that bunch of crazy bozos can make a successful radio station that makes a ton of money and makes us laugh and gives us fun, then anything's possible for us.
Yes.
I think there are people today that are doctors and psychiatrists and good lawyers. And
seeing psychiatrists.
And people especially people seeing psychiatrists.
Who were inspired
by the spirit of BCN. And that's something that's hard to write about or even talk about. You had to have lived through it and enjoyed it, and luckily a lot of the people who did that have passed on the legend of BCN to their children.
Well, something went wrong in the world, though. Something went terribly wrong. It's like I finally came out to Los Angeles, you know, which is where I live and I work here and everything, but it's like the people that you couldn't wait to get away from in high school are now stars of television shows, reality shows.
Yeah.
What happened? You know, people with talent are hitting themselves in the head with a hammer like, I worked, I trained, I did this, I did that, and now people want to watch each other, like, you know, screwing around on each other. And
You know, I think Gore Vidal said it best when he said, you know, these days, not having talent just isn't enough.
That's right.
I think Albert Einstein said it best when he said, "Go F yourself."
I think it's a case of with so many troubles in the world, wars, never-ending wars on every continent, and our country being involved in so many of them, and the economy and pollution and everything. I think people get a little bit of relief out of seeing people who are bigger schmucks than themselves bear their all on TV on these reality shows. I mean, I can't bear to watch them. They're too painful. But they evidently have lots of people that want to share in other people's misery. So.
But we always did it with laughter. I think that's the thing that people really took to heart is the station had a funny bone.
Yeah.
I mean, it really did. We weren't just a bunch of stiffs, but, I mean, sure. I mean, I first listened to BCN, I think it was like 68 or around then. I was sitting on my friend's porch over in Roslindale, Massachusetts. We had the transistor out there. Not the transistor. I think it was a radio still plugged in, hanging out the window. And BCN played Jimi Hendrix. And I almost fell off the porch. I swear to you, I almost fell off the porch. I tuned in to wait for it to be played again. I had never heard anything like that in my life. And, you know, but then, you know, that stuff was serious and exciting and then blended with the kind of humor that all the jocks had. You know, there was always a streak, like a kind of a wild streak in everybody. And Tom and I played everything for laughs. We wanted to make the commercials entertaining.
And we were allowed to.
Yeah, we were allowed to.
Which was amazing. I mean, we had salespeople go to bat for our creative commercials. And, you know, for the big guys, like I remember, I think, Sports Channel and Smart Food, and they all, you know, they would let us do our thing, and it was great.
Yep. Oh,
BCN actually let certain products be born and exist. And in the very early days, there was a wine that nobody ever heard of out of Portugal called Costa do Sol. I don't know if they're still in business
now.
Yeah. But back when I came up here as a student in 1969, and everybody's apartment or dorm room that I went to, there was a bottle of Costa do Sol, and they weren't advertising anywhere but on WBCN, and it just became a cultural thing. That it was the mark of approval. If they were on BCN and you were laughing at the commercials and you knew the DJs were taking a sip between sets, then the product worked.
Well, I used to drink those, like, Annie Green Springs and Strawberry Hill, Boone's Farm. You know, they were like toy wine, like concert wine for kids.
Yep.
And then Costa do Sol was like a very sophisticated brand to me.
Oh, absolutely. It was a definite step. But I do remember, Billy, you then later moved up to antifreeze
and Sterno.
Exactly.
I hate to be the bummer of the party, but with all this talk about advertising, there is a boss, and we
have to run some commercials.
Can I get 5 minutes? Will you guys hang on the phone? Do you mind?
Sure, absolutely. All play right. A funny commercial, will you?
That's what, you know, the good Lord's willing.
Now, another classic WBCN lunch song.
The sandwich I'm thinking of. Only bologna is the lunch meat that I love. I've had pastrami, salami too. I eat with Ken on BCN. Give me bologna.
Yum, 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 yum.
Looking back at 41 years of WBCN, the Rock of Boston.
Okay, right now the next 15 callers on the listener line, 536-8000, who can answer the following question will win a pair of tickets to see the premiere showing of The Kids Are All Right and a special surprise from the film.
We're saying goodbye. A legend, the Rock of Boston, WBCN. Brewing at WBCN.
I'll tell you what's brewing. It's your last chance to score passes from the BCN Street Team to the Landshark Lager Pool Party hosted by Toucher and Rich. Sunday, be at Surfside 5 in Salisbury from 5 to 7. Be there and enjoy the live reggae band. Then, if you're south of Boston, check out Barrett's Ale House in Bridgewater on Bedford Street from 6 to 8 to get your pool party passes. Lots of alliteration. No purchase necessary, but you do have to be 21 years of age. It's from Landshark Lager, Island Style Lager. And 104.1 WBCN.
Get in the zone. AutoZone.
Amazingly, I get to watch Ken Shelton eat lunch, which is something that, you know, normally he just plays the music. But
no, I would eat lunch along with my listeners back in the day.
That was a big deal. We always ate well when Ken was on air.
Shocking.
Well, we learned from Charles. Charles would put out the word, and truckloads of food would arrive. Unfortunately, that meant the last hour of a show was meant giving free plugs to everybody who had arrived with the food.
I seem to remember that. Wasn't somebody to put out Duda on the air as well? Duda.
So Tom and Billy, they were the creative force behind the Mighty Lunch Hour and so much else that went on BCN.
Did you guys have favorite lunch songs by any chance that you liked the most? You know, things you were especially proud of? See if we can dig them up.
Well, we did. I went through and sent probably some of my favorites to John Riley.
But I
counted over 150.
Tom, you did a killer McCartney.
Well, you did a great John. So
we used to love do Beatles song parodies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they also canceled very well, and that was key. We had to get this special patch cord, basically a cord that was made up by David Stimson in the engineering department. And then when that one wore out, I think the next engineer, Jim Rakey, he made one up for us. And what it would let us do is put the vocals out of phase, and basically the vocals would disappear, and then we could sing over these things like a karaoke machine.
Except there was no karaoke tracks back then.
No, there was no karaoke tracks, and for the first 3 years, I think everything was two-track. We finally got Mel to pony up to get us an eight-track around 1985 or 86. So, you know, it was a lot of tape and a lot of edits. And there's one called Cook Like an Italian. I don't know if you have it, but that's the one that has that's got Katie Abel, Lisa Traxler, and then Billy West. There's three of the Bangles. That's a pretty good one.
Silly Lunch Songs was always a favorite of mine, the Paul McCartney Silly Lunch Songs. And the funny thing is, I used to love having, you guys would whip up, like you'd come in the morning at 9 o'clock, Billy, 10:45. You were waiting for somebody to make bail. So, But when we had special guests, when we had stars visiting on the lunch hour, you guys, from the time you got in, from like 9 or 10 till a minute before noon, you guys would frequently come up with a whole new lunch song done over the track of the star who was visiting for lunch that day.
Oh, yeah.
So I remember, and I remember the look on their faces. Most of these were done by not local artists. They were international stars. I remember Sting was
I remember Sting. He gave us a dirty look, and then he kind of gave us a wink.
Yeah, at first he was like, you're screwing with my music.
No, it was like, I'll have my solicitors talking
That's
to
exactly
you.
That's exactly what he said. Yeah.
But it was with a smile on his face. You did,
right, sure.
You did every cake you bake, he had mixed feelings. I think he really felt it was funny, but it was like, you know, it's my art. You're messing with my art.
Then he took his shirt off.
But then we had one horrible, horrible, scary incident.
I remember this,
and it was somebody who was so minor in the big picture of rock and roll over the years.
I know, I mean, who it is.
The stars all took it well. Bob.
No, I think I remember who it was. It was Katrina.
That's right.
Katrina and the
Stupid Waves.
That was her one hit wonder, and we ruined her one hit.
We played it for her back in the production office, and remember, Tom? She sat there and she hears the intro and she's grooving on herself, you know. Her eyes are closed, and she's smiling, and all of a sudden you hear, I think it was you spat out.
Yeah.
It sounded like Katrina.
Yeah, right. That's right.
She was not amused.
Her face went from this smile to the face of no breaks.
Well, I think actually the first time she heard it in its entirety was in the studio with
in
me.
In the studio.
And, you know, I put it on, and like you said, she's like, oh, good, they're starting off with my hit, Walking on Sunshine. And she's snapping her fingers, and she's smiling, and then in comes Tom Sandman's juiced-up voice, you know, walking on lunchtime.
Yeah, and eating she, at lunchtime something.
I thought she was going to just lose it right there. She was up and, you know, calling for her solicitor. Where's my manager?
Yep.
Let's sue. I mean, she went absolutely, talk about a lack of sense of humor.
Well,
and I was kind of glad to see the career go downward, but then recently I heard the song being used in a commercial, so she probably got another million.
They've been playing that song on soft rock stations for 20 years, so yeah, she made plenty of money, and we didn't make anything off of it.
I sang it on Futurama.
Did you really?
Did you really? Yes, I was singing in the shower or something. I was screaming as the character, the kid, Fry, walking on sunshine, and he's all out of tune and everything, and I kept dialing up that day when everybody was on pins and needles because of Katrina and her stupid waves. You know, and you know what I was just thinking, Ken? It's a good thing they never replaced you when we were there, because you'd have to change the station call letters.
That's right.
Like, if you're not
to rhyme, we, to rhyme with
go,
Ken.
Lunch with Joe on BCO.
You know, there were many people who suggested that the only reason I was hired was because my name rhymed with BCN, so the lunch songs could continue on.
Yeah, you'll never convince me of that. No, you're so solid, man. And I hear all these guys with cracked voices on the radio. You know, this is, they all have like one name, and it's always some quirky. You know, hi, I'm Booger. You know, this is
we,
not bad.
We had a few of those coworkers too, didn't we, Billy?
Yeah, yeah, we did.
Hey, it's Chachi. Hi,
Chachi.
Hey, what are you two doing?
I thought that was two names.
Hey guys, I love Tom Sam and Billy West. Two of the most talented people I've ever met. The one night a year I really, really enjoyed and I loved it with Billy was the Peter Wolf house party shows we did.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Billy was so talented. He did so much great stuff on those. I have many pictures that are very funny, but doing those nights with you, Billy, were fantastic.
Oh, you know what? It was just the same tide raises all boats. When you get in a room like that, you just kind of ascend with everybody else. You know, we played live music in the studio, and Pete had a band with him, a bunch of musicians, and Jay Giles' band. I mean, Pete was the sound, and I was at a recording studio one time with him in New York City, and he went in to record, so we were in the green room where everybody kind of hangs out, and we were watching TV, and the movie Mommy Dearest was on. Now, Pete was married to Faye Dunaway.
That's right. That's
and
right.
He came in, he takes a peek in, he doesn't say anything, and I look at the TV and I look at him and I said, "So how was it?" And he goes, "Buddy, don't ask."
No hangers. No
Why
metal hangers.
Hey Chachi, you on the radio reminds me of when we were allowed to go to New York City to interview Paul McCartney. Remember
yes,
that?
Yes, I tell you, and that photograph is hung at my house. Tom Sandman and I think it was 84 or 87, when Paul put out that disastrous film, which I told Paul I loved.
I did too.
Give my regards to Broad Street.
Boy, was that a stinker.
But we loved it. And we went to the Regency Hotel in New York with the Beatles.
The Plaza.
The Plaza Hotel. Oh, I'm sorry, the Plaza. And we get there. Remember, the elevator door opens and Linda McCartney walks out, and Tom and I go up, and they ran us in like cattle. You know, each radio station would go in, interview Paul, shoot some pictures. You get the picture, you get the reel, and you'd leave. And just meeting Paul with Tom Sandman will forever be etched in my mind. That was great.
It was outstanding, and that was Oedipus. You know, a lot of radio stations, they just send their biggest, like the morning guy or the afternoon guy, to interview the stars. What Oedipus did was he found the Beatles fans and sent them to McCartney. He would find the David Bowie fans like Bradley J and send him to interview David Bowie, and it was so cool. That we were allowed to do that.
And that's true, because Eddie knew that I loved the Beatles, and I'll never forget, I was never a DJ. I would be put on the air with Ken and talk about contests, but one day he walked up to me, he said, you like the Beatles, right? I said, I love the Beatles. He goes, good, we're going to do a Beatles show, you start on Sunday night. And I had never even run the board before.
Wow,
and I started,
that's the way it happened.
Yeah, and he was so great for that. And
no extra salary.
That's true. That's true. But he did send Tom and I to New York City to interview Paul McCartney.
And Tom, I want to thank you again. If I didn't thank you enough then, Tom took the time. I mean, I would have just been in glory and sat there drooling at being able to talk to McCartney for a few minutes. Tom actually brought a number of mementos with him for a couple of friends to have McCartney sign. And I still, of course, have that black and white 45 RPM picture sleeve cover of I Saw Her Standing There that you had Paul McCartney autograph for me.
Wow.
That is one of the absolute most prideful parts of my collection.
He was very generous with his time, and he was a sweetheart. And, we've all had our experiences with rock stars and people in show business, and sometimes they're not so they're not what they're up, what they're advertised to be. But McCartney was just nothing but gracious. He had us in the palm of his hand.
Always a diplomat.
We loved it, And
it was that organic food that Linda was feeding him.
Vegan. And Tom, he just played Fenway Park.
That's right. He played two nights at Fenway Park this week.
Unbelievable. He's great.
Green Monster. I don't see a Green Monster.
He did the last show at Shea Stadium too.
Yep.
So unbelievable. So then what of us?
Well, Tom, you're back in your hometown of Cincinnati, and you're doing a production manager there, or
no, I'm out of radio, Ken.
Are you? I didn't answer your last.
To believe. Question. Well, I keep telling people I never left radio. Radio left me, but it just kind of devolved to the point where it wasn't what it used to be. So for about 3 years, I was actually in the sales department representing two good public radio stations here.
Great.
And then about 6 months ago, I got an opportunity to work for Cincinnati Bell. It's a local Bell telephone company. It's one of the last baby Bells in America. It's locally owned and operated, and I'm in their marketing and community relations department. And it's
Sounds
a pretty
like
good
it.
Match. I get to use some of the contacts I've made over the years in radio and media.
Sure.
But
wow. So Tom and I do the same job.
That's right.
True, huh?
Exactly.
That's great.
And Billy, I know you're one of the shows that you've been a voice on. Futurama is back, I heard, full time on the Comedy Network.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't rule out Fox, which I heard the other day.
Yeah, I heard that mentioned too. Right.
I've been very, very fortunate. I mean, just blessed. I can't describe to you. I know you're thinking I'm going to make a joke or something, but I'm working. In this crazy, stupid, I call it stupid wood because, most of the time you can't figure out why something happens.
Yep.
But then when it happens to you, something good, you don't question it. You just kind of look out and look into space and go, thank you. I'm grateful. I'm very happy. It's a place. What did they used to say? I used to see Eddie around a lot, Eddie Gordetsky, who worked in production before you and I, Tom.
Right, Eddie Gordetsky and Tom Couch preceded us, and they produced tons of great material, and we were actually just kind of handed the torch of the lunch songs from those two guys.
And Eddie inspired me because I watched the way he worked and the way he did comedy, and I think I would have been a little different had I not been in that situation where, all of a sudden they're like, get up at that mic and start going. But it's crazy. But he is out here. I think he's like the executive producer on
the Three Men or Two and a Half Men. Two and a Half Men, whatever it's called. Right, he's one of the executive producers.
You know what? You're a pedophile when you're president of the Half a Man fan club.
Sorry.
Can I get in trouble for that? Please, write your congressman. Leave me alone.
We dumped it, Billy.
Oh, you did?
No, only kidding. Only kidding.
Look, I'm trying to have a good time. Don't you feel better that we injected humor now?
Yes.
What do you call a whore and a prostitute? What do you call a whore in Jamaica?
Hey, Chacha, remember that joke that Freddie Taylor used to tell?
What was that?
He said, I have to get this right. We're on live radio. He said, what's the difference between a nun and a prostitute taking a bath? And the answer is, a nun has hope in her soul.
Okay. I'm going to go back to eating my pizza.
All right.
Yay. Hey, great hearing from you guys.
Chachi. Chachi.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You just threw me right off track. I thought you ran off with your pizza.
No, I'm right here.
Oh, well, that's good. Did you hear about the guy who couldn't come? We had to go get him. See, that's a nice, clean, funny joke. You could tell that to a waitress.
You know, CBS was hoping it would get to the fourth day before we hit this depth of humor, but you guys started it early.
Yeah, but you know, it was just like crazy land, and we always were trying to get a laugh. You know, everybody wanted to entertain.
Absolutely. Laughing got us through all the rough moments of the years that BCN started. It was. Martin Luther King and Bobby Kennedy getting assassinated, and all the rock stars that were dying one way or another. I was on the air and had to announce to the world that Lynyrd Skynyrd's plane crashed and they were dead, and that Stevie Ray Vaughan had died, and other drug overdoses and things like that.
That was a real shock because he had just played a lunch concert for us
a
couple of weeks
ago. And we had dinner with him at Davio's.
That's right. We had dinner at Davio's with him, and he brought his own rabbit. He brought a freezer
for dinner.
Yes, he brought his own. it was already dead and clean, and he had his roadies carrying around this little freezer pack full of bunny. Ooh.
Oh,
and maybe that was God punishing him or something. I don't know, but
the rabbit died.
No, he was a sweet man, and. He was hitting on my wife all through dinner, but...
I remember him being newly sober.
Yes, yes.
And he was telling me he was really proud of that. And, you know, I didn't talk much to him, but I knew he was a killer guitar player that I really admired.
Yeah, yeah. And there's so many sad things happen, you know, as do all the time, that we were a bastion of a laugh. We were the place where you could go to lighten up a little bit here at BCN. And,
you had the BCN Comedy Riot, a battle of the bands for comedians.
That's right.
This is pretty unheard of.
Yeah.
Well, Perino was kind of the comedy meister, I guess, because he was on in the afternoon, and that was a time to play comedy segments and stuff.
Yep. Yeah, Janine Garofalo was in recently, and we talked. She remembered being in the Comedy Riot.
Really? Oh, yeah.
She won it, didn't she?
I don't know if she won, but she distinctly remembered being in it, and we talked about it for about 10 minutes.
I remember a comedy. We were involved in a charitable comedy event, and it was on the night. I'm not sure if it was at Symphony. It might have been in Symphony Hall. It was a pretty big event. Just about every major comedian from Boston at the time, Lenny Clark, and a lot of guys who've gone on to national fame, and it was the night of the Boston Marathon, and I remember when it was time for the next comedian to come on, the back door opens up, and in comes running Dennis Leary in Swiss. He had obviously had somebody dump a bucket of water on him, and he ran in through the entire Symphony Hall and up to the stage, and was just one of the many hilarious people there, and we were glad to be part of that. It was also odd for a rock and roll radio station to be involved in comedy as deeply as we were. And
but the sponsors all loved that whole thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. I was thinking about the old days, and I wanted to say hi to my old friend Tank from actually the Mattress days, and then he was on with Perenno. That's what made me think of it. He was at a lot of those events they had.
Yes, and he was. He was also the manager of the Ballbusters.
Yeah, and he was the king of sports, when I think about it, man. You know?
Right.
Yep, and he was the only van driver when I arrived, and he hired me. My first paying job was to be the alternate van driver.
People think he was a producer on the Mattress, you know, when I first got there. You know what his real job was? And I hope you're not embarrassed, Paul, if you're listening. But his job basically was to go and get me in the morning.
That's true.
And wake me up.
And you know who got me at the airport was the van driver was Eli. Eli was the van driver.
Yeah.
And then he eventually became our traffic reporter. And do you remember when, after about 2 or 3 years in a helicopter, for some reason he was grounded? So instead of being Eli Shearer, Wicked High, the BCN copter, he was Eli Shearer and Wicked Small, the BCN closet. And we just ran
sound effects of a helicopter behind him for about 2 or 3 years, and nobody knew.
No.
When you were a pioneer, everybody does that now.
Yep. Yep.
I hear a traffic guy on one station, and then if I'm flipping around, I hear him pop up on another station, you know, with the same sound effects. And...
Right. And the same traffic report, too, sometimes. They'll tape it, and you'll hear it like 10 minutes later. You know, that's what we'll have in our market, which is kind of crazy. So what good's a traffic report if it's 10 minutes old? So.
Yeah, really. But I guess it's getting too crowded here. Like, every place used to take half an hour. They'd say, oh, Culver City, yeah, half an hour. You know, Pacoima or wherever, you know, the Valley, half an hour. Now it takes almost 2 hours to go anywhere. It's so ridiculous now.
I can't wait to move there.
Huh?
I can't wait to move there.
Well, I got a lot of room. I really do. Actually, my brother's out here.
Yeah,
he's doing voiceover stuff too.
Good guy.
Good, yeah. Also a talented guy. I was trying to get him to work for me when I left BCN and moved on to the sister station. And for some reason, they vetoed my hiring him. But
he thought very highly of you, and still does. And
well, I was amazed. Not that he's you, but I was amazed at how much of you and how much of your talent he actually has. And I'm glad to hear he's making use of it now out there in California. And
well, he's been clean and sober for quite a while now, and I'm really proud of him.
That's great.
Well, that must have something to do with the problem, and then the solution must have a lot to do with having all this incredible energy and talent and creativity inside you and not knowing where to put it, not knowing where to send it, not knowing how to show it. And so you end up internalizing it and screwing up whatever you can. And then when you finally explode and somebody recognizes your possibilities and your talent, then you can leave the other crutches behind. You can leave the booze and the drugs behind, and it's your talent gives you the high. And
you know, it was really weird. Thank you for that. But when I was in rehab, you guys came and visited me, and you were all smashed out of your
Well, Amy Winehouse was busy that night, so
yeah, right. This is a house on the grounds of a crazy nut house named, what was it called?
McLean's
Hospital Belmont or something?
Yep, right. Still
and
there.
I was sitting up in my room, and they said, you have guests. And I said, really? And I came downstairs, and I see my three pals, you know, coming to visit me.
Your three pals.
I think Tom wandered over to the piano and started playing it. You know, and... Pereno and you guys, what did you do? Go rob a liquor store and take everything with you?
We had to make sure we finished everything before we reached the grounds there.
That's right. We didn't want to tempt you, so we had to drain it.
But it was really weird, and then I had to be forced into counseling over that. How did that affect you? How did that make you feel that your friends came here and they were drunk? I said, I don't know. What do I, you know? I don't know. What am I, seven? I'm supposed to know all that stuff? But it was just weird. It was all weird. It was all fun, though. It's so rich and colorful, and luckily to be alive is the best part of it.
Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely.
And it's a good book, you know?
Yeah, well, when are you writing it?
I don't know. I came up with the first chapter, though. I took my first beating in utero.
and knowing you, it's the truth.
It is.
That's right.
Well, hey, Billy gave a shout-out to Tank. And, Tank, if you're listening, hope you're doing okay down there in Plymouth, Mass. And I want to take my hat off for the late, great Cosmic Muffin, gave us so many great moments on the air. On BCN.
Well, good morning, Ken.
There he is.
Remember, he was all chipper. He was always so happy when he came.
He was. Remember the day? There was one day he would come in on Tuesday, and I hate to break it to you, but he would tape all of his reports for the whole week on one day. So,
right. Yep.
And he would come in, and he found out for some reason Little Richard was going to come to the radio station and visit on a Tuesday. And Daryl was so excited. So he got there early, he did his reports, and he just waited and waited, and finally Little Richard came in. And Daryl looked at him, you know, and said, "Hi, Richard, I'm Daryl. They call me the Muffin."
And Richard looked him up and down. He said, I eat muffins for breakfast every day. It was perfect. One of those day, one of those moments. So yeah. Another great BCN moment.
He was ahead of his time, you know.
Well, anyway, I gotta get out of the studio. Tommy, Billy, great guy.
Chachi, we love you, man. Thanks for letting us be on the rock.
Our pleasure.
Chachi, I always love talking to you, and I hope to chat with you soon. It's always a pleasure.
Sure will. Thank you, Billy. Give my best to your brother. And
I'm
sitting here next to Captain Ken Shelton.
Everybody. I know.
Oh, man.
Tom, Billy, thank you for being so big a part for the greatest radio station that ever was in the rock and roll era.
We were just passing torches, man. There's so many great, talented people there. Thanks for letting us work with you, Ken. It was great.
Hey, thanks for making me famous.
Ken, you're a legend. You really were famous
before we got there.
Not as famous as I became when you guys gave me the juice and the extra stuff to go over the top from being just a pretty decent DJ to becoming pretty famous.
I'd do it all over again to help, believe me. It was nothing but fun.
I'm sorry I can't afford you anymore.
Oh, right. Yes, my quote.
We shall talk again.
All right, you guys.
That's a promise.
Yes. Right, okay, guys.
Take care. R.I.P. BCN.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Awesome.
Do we have any another lunch song to
play? Yeah, we do have another lunch song.
Why don't we do that? And I'm sure you got a lot of business to catch up on.
Yeah, you want to give away one of the HD radios? Would you like to do that? You know,
I'm going to snag it for myself. Are you kidding?
Yeah, well, we got plenty. We'll hook you up.
Okay.
But why not?
Always the favorite part of my radio show to my listeners was when I gave stuff away, and BCN notorious for latching on to good stuff. I used to hear some of the cheese that other stations would give away and laugh. And we'd be giving away trips to Mars and, you know, riding a limo with David Bowie and smoke his cigarette butts and stuff like that, you know. The Rock of Boston, WBCN, is moving to 98.5 HD2. And the music will live on in high definition. Plus, Freeform BCN. The music and the attitude of the early days of BCN can now be heard on 100.7 HD3. Don't have an HD radio? Neither do I. Win one now. I'm hoping there's not going to be some little... Since I'm reading this blind, it's not going to say the number two concert.
I promise this one doesn't say that.
All right. Don't have an HD radio? Win one now. The 14th caller at 617-931-1041 wins an HD radio. It's time to upgrade. For more information about HD radio, go to WBCN.com.
Now, another classic WBCN lunch song.
It was a day in September, a lunch I'll always remember. Yes, I do, 'cause that was the day that my daddy died. Yeah. I never got the chance to eat with him. Wonder what my mother made to feed him. Mama, I'm depending on you to tell me the truth. Mama just hung her head and she said, son,
Papa ate a chicken bone. We called the doctor up on the phone, but then he died.
All he left just was a groan.
Is it true what they say, that Papa never learned to eat his lunch slow?
And Mama, that talk going round, Papa ate his lunch with another station on the radio. And that ain't right.
Papa only cared about eating and belching, instead of eating lunch with BCN and Ken Sheldon.
Mama, I'm depending on you to tell me the truth.
Mama just hung her head and she said, son,
your papa ate a chicken bone. He went down like a slide trombone. And when he died,
all he left just was a groan.
Your papa ate a chicken bone. We
called the doctor up on the phone. But when he died, all he left just was a groan.
A new Boston sports radio station is being built. The first Boston FM sports station. It'll be the new home of the Patriots, Bruins, Dutcher and Rich. Thursday, it's the debut of 98.5 The Sports Hub, Boston's new home for sports.
It's WBCN's Last Blast this Wednesday, August 12th from 5 to 9 p.m. The rooftop pool at the Colonnade Hotel in Boston. Join Toucher and Rich for the Landshark Lager Pool Party. This invite-only party features live steel pan music performed by Island Breeze. Enjoy a nice cold Landshark Lager and don't miss your chance to hang out with Toucher and Rich. Get your invite at WBCN.com and use your BCN bucks. Or hit the events page at WBCN.com and find Landshark Lager and the BCN Street Team giving away tickets at area bars all weekend. The Landshark Lager Pool Party with Toucher and Rich. Wednesday from 5 to 9 p.m. at the Colonnade Hotel rooftop pool. No purchase necessary. Winners must be 21 or older to attend.
FAR, Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
We're in the middle of a four-day farewell here at 104.1 WBCN, the retrospective of 41 years of rock and roll as the Rock of Boston. Ken Shelton.
Can I stay all 4 days?
You can stay till I'm out at 8 o'clock. If you want to come back on Monday or Tuesday morning, you're more than welcome to.
Mornings I'm not too good, but this has been a lot of fun. I appreciate the staff and management for doing this and having us back to remember some great old times that a lot of your current listeners don't know about, but it's an education for them, and hopefully they'll follow up the new formats that they will be able to follow.
Right.
The BCN of the past and the present and the future. Right. And I hope you'll go on.
Ken, you're a New York kid originally, right?
I grew up in New York City.
How'd you wind up here?
Well, I was still living at home and said, I got to get out of here, and where do I want to go? So I applied to schools, colleges, and I pretty much, even though it turned out not being the best school I was accepted to, but it was in the city I wanted to be, and that was Boston. I ended up going to BU, and I came up here. First thing I did, got into my new room, first room out of my parents' house in my life. Threw down a mattress and scattered clothes around, and the first thing I did was take my stereo system and plug it into the wall. Now, I had grown up thinking I was listening to, like, all this great, great, exciting radio in New York, and it was, for the time, stations like WNEW FM, WPLJ, named after Frank Zappa's White Port and Lemon Juice, and got up here. Now, I never heard of BCN, and so plugged it in and just started scanning the FM dial, and I come to what I believe was a song called Witchy Tie Toe by
Jim Pepper.
Jim Pepper and Everything is Everything. And then a couple of mainstream things that I knew from New York radio, Jimi Hendrix and The Doors and Janis Joplin and all the great, great artists of the time, The Grateful Dead. And then it's stuff that I never heard of before. Eric Dolphy, jazz pieces, even an occasional classical piece that would work in between a Led Zeppelin song and a Joni Mitchell song. Just a mix of songs, a group of DJs that had such impeccable and learned taste that literally for the first 2 years I was in Boston, I didn't know there was another radio station in this town. I never moved the dial once I found that station, those first few songs. And I thought I'd go back to that era and just play something by another Irishman who was kind of floating around looking to change his direction from his early part of his career in the mid-60s to moving it up and coming to Cambridge, Massachusetts, becoming a very good friend of a local musician named of Peter Wolfe, who had a band called The Hallucinations. And this gentleman stayed here for, I think it was a little over a year, possibly two, fell in love with Cambridge and the Charles River and the Mystic River and the countryside and the city, and did move on shortly after that, but comes back to Boston frequently. So just one of my first memories of one of the artists that I heard so much here on WBCN in the very beginning and through the years, Van Morrison on WBCN. Listening to WBCN 104.1 for now, for a few more days, for what it's worth. This is Ken Shelton, a visitor from the past. Some of you don't know who I am. A lot of you current BCN listeners who've discovered the station and enjoyed it over the past 10 years or so, and others reading about this extravaganza, this four-day extravaganza that the station management is allowed to be put on. Or possibly read about it in the Globe or heard by word of mouth from old BCN listener friends who said, hey, some of the old guys are going to be back this weekend. It's going to be some crazy times. Got anything to smoke? That's Van Morrison, of course, an artist that you probably heard from the first day BCN started playing rock and roll until recently. And I mean, he started off with the band Them out of Ireland and then went moved to Cambridge, Massachusetts, became a very good personal friend of Peter Wolfe and was inspired by the area to write a number of songs, including that one, Into the Mystic, our own Mystic River. Well, you know, over the years, I was here for 13 years on WBCN, as well as 12 years on other Boston area stations, whereas the BCN, of course, was the highlight of my career. I always call it the best 13-year-long party anybody ever went to. I also frequently, people say, hey, you were on BCN? I said, yeah. And they paid me, too, to do it, which is hard to believe, to have such a good time. I wish for you out there that you have jobs that you can say, not only do I love this job, but they pay me to do it. That is the highlight of people's lives, when you have a gratifying work that you do and the people that you work for appreciate it and take care of you for it. And that's the way BCN has been. That's the part of the legend, besides of breaking all this great music. Now, much of the music BCN has been known for, and much of the fame and the why BCN has become so beloved over the years, is that we always looked within. We always looked in every neighborhood. We always looked in every town. We looked at every little club to find kids who had just picked up guitars and beat their parents' brains out by sitting in their room and banging on the drums, and people figuring out how to play bass by themselves, and meeting other misfits at the local high school that didn't mix with the jocks and didn't mix with the high fashionista types and just were rock and rollers at heart and had something to say and said it through their music. And BCN has always been able to, if not find them, be a focal point where they could find us, local rock and roll bands. And so here also, I've plugged so many bands and so many places over the years that I'm going to take this little opportunity for coming down and visiting to do a plug of my own. A lot of people remember from my years here that I do have two kids. One of them is to become a California boy. He's out there in the Los Angeles area. He was trying to get into the concert running business. He's not quite there yet. My daughter is still a high school student here in the Boston area. And she, if she didn't get my talking pipes, she far surpassed. I don't sing, but she does. And she's involved in a group of teenagers, mostly in the western suburbs, but from all over the area. And there's hundreds of kids involved in this program called Plugged In, that's based out of Needham, Massachusetts. And they are doing, and what they do is they pretty much every 6 months or so, they rotate bands. They've got a bunch of incredible guitarists. I just got this one 13-year-old kid who might reach Jimi Hendrix levels by the time he's 18. Other kids that sing great, write great songs, and they kind of switch around and form different bands every 6 months or so. And tonight, some of the best of those bands are doing a charity concert. It's happening out in Needham at a place called the Village Club at 38 Morton Street, which is right off Highland Avenue, just about 2 miles from Route 128. It does cost $20 to go in, to get in, but it is a benefit for a group called We Care Solar, an environmentally green group that is helping clean up our air and waters and our country just a little bit. It starts in a little while at 7 o'clock. It'll run till 10 o'clock. You'll see a bunch of very fine up-and-coming young bands that are too young to play in the clubs, and there's not that many clubs available for young bands. But With the kind permission of the people who run WBCN, I'm going to plug my daughter's band, my daughter Marley Shelton. Her band is called Safer Six. And this is a song she wrote and sang on and recorded. And the world debut right now of Marley Shelton. Glad it is on WBCN Boston.
Airchecks.com.